Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 19th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the first, Rex Bohm. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Day by day, hour by hour, right?
Understood.
Yeah, in so many ways. Our quote this morning comes from a guy that Rex picked out, and I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Song Son.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. The one who praises you is a thief. The one who criticizes you is your true friend.
I just like it because that means I have a whole a lot of friends.
Well, I mean, you think about it. Yeah. You know, those that are caught up in celebrity, lobbyists, folks like that are your false friends. I mean, you know, they're there trying to be friend, but it's a business relationship. It's not a personal relationship. Your personal buds. You know, I bet you Tyson's busted your chops 3 or 4 times in the last month and a half, right?
Oh, I get phone calls.
Because he's a bud.
Yeah, well, I talk to him every day.
I mean, that's all part of this and
I get nothing but
honesty.
Truth. I get nothing but straight truth from David.
And isn't that what we can hope for?
It's humbling, leveling, and I mean...
Keeps you on the beam a little bit.
As you well know, David, I'm a big fan of Dave Tyson, and he's probably one of my best friends. And I think he did a great job at the city. It's proving out that he did a great job at the city. And he's got such institutional knowledge of Humboldt County and Eureka that...
Well, he's helped move the needle for Trinidad, too.
No, you know, he's done things, So it's just great for me to have somebody like that to fall back on.
Do you have enough buddies that you grew up with to keep you honest?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Comma, are there those that you have interactions with that you can clearly identify are just trying to take advantage
been
of
been here 60, some, 60 plus years. Yeah,
but you haven't been Supervisor Rex for
no,
that length of time.
No, but I've been involved in so many activities. I mean, it's pretty easy to separate the hay from the crap.
Chef, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know where you grow your hay.
Yeah. but I'm just saying, it's pretty easy. And I mean, you know, and
now what about at the state level though? Now that you're moving up with the regional thing, you know, I would imagine it's pretty easy to let it get to your head, to think you're hot stuff. And it's like, wait a minute.
No,
you go home and you get it kicked out of you. That would be the hay kicked out of you.
I have too many friends on, you know, everyday level that and there are people when they get elected, they really think, hey, I'm something big here. I've kind of bypassed that because I think it's because my place in Humboldt County and my age and where I want to be, I'm already is where I want to be. I'm pretty happy where I'm at. My butt's too big for a pedestal.
I thought you were going to say your head for a door.
No, I look at it more as I know not everybody agrees with every decision we make. That's great because in your quote of books, the secret to success is not keeping everybody happy. So that's the
secret. Rodoni standard.
Yeah, you know, and but the thing is getting out there and getting it done and letting people know that you've got a wherewithal of what's going on when you do make the decision is important.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We got more stuff to talk about, whether it's Road Warrior Rex. Yeah, okay, he knows where I'm headed. Or just local guy Rex. Either way, we'll talk about it when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, some of the challenges that are going on out there, I know you talk about getting nibbled or beaten up by your friends. The whole concept here of the sphere of influence with the general plan, with the marijuana laws, with the land use regulations, all that kind of stuff. I know it's still in progress. It's kind of like a budget, right? Always evolving. Do you wish you would have done it different? Even with just the knowledge you got today, 6 months ago or a year ago, when you're talking to your buddies back in Ohio, are you going to be saying, you know, these are the lessons we learned?
Well, I think
avoid my pitfalls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were trying to put something through, so we weren't under the state guidance. We've got, you know, we were not pressured at all. But I mean, we put some pretty good stuff in there, but and we had some good input. And now in some of the places that we're hearing the biggest kickbacks didn't give us any input. So we, you know, there were things like 5-acre minimums, you know, things like that. So we wouldn't be in residential areas. We, you know, the indoor grows, you know, couldn't be in resident. You know, we were trying to, there was a lot of effort trying to, you know.
Not to say there wasn't a lot of attempt, but lessons learned.
We didn't want people putting it on 1 acre, you know, in these subdivisions, 1-acre subdivisions. You had to five or plus, you know, prime ag.
So prime avoid, ag. Avoid the Trinity so, County syndrome.
Yeah, so we thought we'd be able to push it out and everything else. There are fingers of prime ag that creep in onto the spheres of municipalities. We were trying to write an ordinance and doing the best job. And I mean, you know, the marijuana subcommittee, the planning commission, our own department was giving us great suggestions. And they were sending letters out. I mean, there was 22 meetings. And we were asking people, you know, basically the cities, and quite a few of them gave us input. You know, we're trying to do an ordinance for 4,000 square miles, you know, 3,600 of it land, 400 of it water. But, I mean, trying to put something together that would best, you know, fit the environment, less impact on neighbors and things like that. And then some of these municipalities with 20 square miles of stuff, we would have loved to have their input because they know their footprint better than we do because right. We don't follow it. If we would have had a little input, it would have saved some of these problems we're looking at. We didn't get it.
You know, yeah, whoops, we screwed up. Okay, fine.
No.
So you build off of that. My question, and maybe this is throwing one in, and maybe I'm my own municipality. What if somebody bought a dairy ranch? Could they convert to a marijuana ranch? Or are there still restrictions? I'm thinking the Eau River Valley, right?
Well, a lot of that's in coastal, so you know, there's a whole different animal there. So there are those issues, and that's why we're looking at maybe just going to agricultural land instead of prime ag, so we don't take those prime ag lands away from grazing, dairy, because...
So you're still evolving.
You know, because we're known, you know, I always use the line that I'll go to a state conference and or even to a national and mention I'm from Humboldt. Well, you have to understand, we make more redwood fencing than any other county in the world.
Who knows that?
But nobody ever asked me, hey, Humboldt, yeah, that's where the redwood fencing comes from.
Or earthquakes, you know, or redwood trees. The stuff we used to
We're 70% of all the redwood, I think, or 65-70% of all the redwood in the world. I mean, we've got some great things to be proud of. We got some great industries that built this county. Fishing.
But nobody thinks about them, though, now.
I do all the time.
Well, okay, let me say.
But I'm just saying.
A vast majority of people outside of the area, not what we're known
and
for.
And so we have a new industry. Is it what we want to fall back on? No. Are a lot of people falling back on it? Yes. There was a big article in the Times Standard that says it is now an economic influence. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the party, guys.
Yeah, please. Well, that's what I thought. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, our sheriff, our law enforcement, they needed rules in place so they can go after. It takes a lot of time to organize and go out, but they've made two large busts this week on very large environmental...
You're going after
hazardous grows.
Side. Yeah.
And that's what we need. And then these guys that are trying to get permitted, and I think when it's all said and done, you're going to get people. This is going to end up being with so many places down south. Monterey County just issued 15 permits for 1.5 million square feet.
They're not screwing around.
Well, no, but it went down in the old flower farms, you know, and that are now empty. So it's a perfect location, and they charged a lot, and they're getting revenue, and it's.
So why are they able to charge so much more?
Because they're limited on how much space they have to actually, you know, to do the product, and the availability, and they had the footprint to put it in. Not that we didn't have the footprint. They did not have the problem with the illegal grows that we have. I mean, you know, I hear these numbers that we grow 60% of everything consumed. And, I mean, we hear these gigantic numbers that are, you know, hard to quantify. But I'm just, as we go along, our biggest issue was if you're going to be in this business with the voters of California making it a legal business, we want you to be under the environmental guidelines of our planning, building, environmental health departments. And we're just one leg of a three-legged stool. You still have to meet fish and wildlife and water quality.
Well, and then you got DOJ, too.
Well, yeah.
The guys that own the stool. So, the Mendocino County model that was...
I just have to say, before we started, you said the last thing I want to do is talk about marijuana.
I know.
And here we are. And I agreed with you, but here we are.
The Mendocino model, is that one, thanks, that Humboldt County would feel comfortable trying to implement, and if the DOJ comes in and they break the glass, okay, they do it?
Are you talking about the tags?
Yeah.
I thought the tags were genius when Tom Allman did them. I thought they were absolutely genius because you knew where everything was, you could go see it and things like that. DOJ did throw a pretty tough bucket into that, but they ended up prevailing and protecting the people that were involved in the program.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're at Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Rex, you're going off to be a national in some stomping grounds I spent a little bit of time at in Ohio. When you're in that situation and folks are looking to you and your compadres as being kind of the Shell answer man, of how absolute are you with your responses? Is it this is, or here's one thought?
I don't think anything's absolute. I think we can give them an idea that this seems to work, because we've all looked at programs that are going, man, that, why didn't I think of that? And then a year later you're going, wow. And I don't know who owned it, but I always look at the guy that owned the cinnamon rolls on the mall when the mall first opened up. Everywhere I went, there was a box of those cinnamon rolls. Everybody was going into the mall and buying those cinnamon rolls every morning. I'm going, man, I wish I would have thought of that.
And then Krispy Kreme, too.
And then a year later, it's gone. Krispy Kreme's kind of holding its own, but the cinnamon roll thing was gone.
Not in my house, it's not, baby.
You know, yeah.
There I
you
see
go.
They're making multiple visits to
Madam
the phone
Z, Madam Z, but yeah. Anyway, you know. So
when you go to the nationals or the state conventions, I know what I do when I go to a convention. I'm looking for one idea. If I get one good idea out of a 2-day or 3-day event, we win. When you go back to this thing, what are you looking for? One idea, two ideas?
There are so many breakout sessions. I mean, I'll tell you what I'm looking for, and it's not an answer to cannabis, marijuana, dope, or whatever. it's the issue we're facing on our streets right now, our homeless issue, our opioid drug. I just saw one of the states declared opioids a national emergency because it was affecting their employment programs. They were giving people
that.
Yeah, it was just I'm going, you know, you'd always think, well, they're never going to work anyway, but it has become an epidemic, and the mental health issue, and people are always saying, we've got to fix this, the streets. I went to rent a car the other day at Enterprise, and before I could get into Enterprise at 8 o'clock morning, I had three people had walked up to me to say, what are we going to do about our streets? That's not to say that there aren't programs that are trying to fix it, and they're not. And there's some of these programs are successful, but it's a huge problem, and it's chipping away. But it is so frustrating for people. It is the most frustrating thing I deal with, and I think Connie Beck keeps getting. I said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We have to. People are looking.
Why
you know,
do they? I suppose this is way off the PC trail. why do those folks who either want the alternative lifestyle or who are just mentally mucked up, for every one or two success, there's one or two more coming to town? It seems like we're on this hamster wheel and have been there for, can we say decades? I think so.
People act like it just happened, but it's been, you know,
and whether it's
God bless
the
Ronald
LSD.
Reagan, but when we closed down the mental hospitals,
but we didn't have it to that extent. Then.
No, we didn't, because I can tell you back then, I can name the three nutty people we had,
yeah.
Eureka, because we all had nicknames for them.
Yeah, right. So this is something that has been since the 70s, and the drug culture has really visited our area. Is there still the one-way bus therapy? San Francisco, Santa Rosa, sending their people here. Is there an attraction for those that are off balance to come here instead of somewhere else? You see new people all the time. So as there's two or three great successes that Betty or one of her folks are doing, there's two or three new ones coming in from somewhere later that week to backfill. And it seems
it's a migration. I think it's a migration.
That's
trail
what I'm wondering. So why us?
And I don't think because I can tell you when I go to these state things. Just at a state meeting last week, you know, and it's an issue that not every, but a lot of mild climate, coastal really helps. Cities are coming up with. I mean, Google Redding homeless, Google Santa Cruz homeless, Google Fresno homeless.
No problem. No question. And
it's a huge problem everywhere. Part of our issue is the services, and you know we've got, like I said, 4,100 square miles of Humboldt County, which is a very large size county, but the majority of the services and what happens here comes right down to, and then you also have the problem is. Some of these people tend to break the law on a regular basis, i.e. misdemeanor or whatever the case may be. And we bring them to Eureka, we incarcerate them, try to figure out what's going on with them, and then they're released and they're here. And I don't know if they have enough availability to go back to the other places they came from.
You know what my fear is? And I don't... Yeah. I mean, we both grew up here, so it's... I've got two. One is we're in the pot with the heat going up and we don't realize it until you get out of town and you go to Columbus. Okay, now see what's in Columbus, or you go to a town that's Danville.
Yeah.
Okay, and see what they've got versus what we've got. So you have references that are legit instead of, oh, us too. But that we're so nice, and people have always talked about how nice people are in Humboldt County, that word is out also. And if you don't want to be hassled, come to Humboldt. And talk about a two-edged sword.
Well, it's two-edged because you want to be proud that we have a moral compass that's higher than a lot of people, that we care about our fellow human beings.
But you don't want to be taken advantage
of
either.
But the other fact is how much, you know, how much care can you take when you're getting stabbed in the back with the same knife and fork that you handed to them to eat with earlier in the day?
Well, like Betty, you dealt with a couple
Betty,
weeks.
You know, no, yeah. And I understand, and it's devastating for her.
Well, and for all those who care.
But I'll say this, and this always gets me in trouble because I have a lot of people that says if Betty wasn't doing what she did, we wouldn't, you know, or
they were
other
here
things.
Before her.
But I can guarantee you, she does not feed them all, and nobody comes to Humboldt County for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich 3 days a week. I mean,
not even the good ones.
There's other issues why we have them.
KINS News and Information Times 8:45.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Fall practice for football, is that...
No, I don't think I'll be there. I'll be there for 4 days, but
I mean, this is about the time.
I got a year of eligibility left. Maybe I'll go talk to Coach.
Yeah. If you can get Coach Myers to bring you on board in any regard.
His good friends call him Irby.
Yeah. Yeah, and how would you know about that?
There you go.
Doing a little reading.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's got to be cool going to a national. Just because you get so many different perspectives.
Being in the chairs at RCRC and being able to being allowed and getting to go to these things it puts your perspective on what's going on. But I always look at, like you said, get one or two good ideas, because there's very innovative people out there that says, you know what we did that worked really well? And usually it's aha moment, like, damn. You just started turning it a quarter of a turn instead of half a turn, and it works a lot better, you know?
Yeah.
It's the application.
What areas you're looking for? You said homeless?
Homeless, the opioid and the methamphetamine problem. I mean, things like that that can put another tool in the belt of our law enforcement and our public, you know, DHHS workers, you know, that are trying to help these people. You know, is there a trigger that maybe, because the biggest problem is these people that get off, a lot of these people that get off addiction, is if anybody's been, you know, addicted to something, you get off the addiction, you get doing well, you get doing everything else, and think, a little bit won't hurt. And yeah. it's no different from drugs, alcohol,
sugar,
cookies. Yeah. You know, well, I can have one cookie and all of a sudden, God, how'd I eat 20 pounds of cookies in the last 4 months? Yeah. You know,
why do I feel funny?
You know, so.
When you're back there, are you looking for anything economic development-wise? I know the airport district that is kind of swirling a little bit. The fear that another fear that I've got is that we are not seeing us for what we could be. We're seeing us for what we were and what we never will be, rather than what we could be. The elevated canopy walk thing through the Sequoia Park sounds like it's going to be something that's one of those, hey, we can do this here.
Yeah.
And looking for economic things like that. You got the spit is sitting out there. We've got the old mill sites that are sitting around. What do you guys do with these? And look, kind of go back with an economic developer
development perspective. As you well know, a lot of these mill sites and a lot of these issues that we talk about that we're trying to develop and do something with, you know, lie in the coastal zone.
Sure, that's a challenge.
So that's an anchor tied around everybody's, but, you know
Pennsylvania had, you know, the whole Rust Belt, which is kind of where you're close to.
Yeah.
Towns that were gone. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be as challenging as anything, you know, coastal.
Well, and as we get redundant broadband up here, we get, you know, a lot of these issues. We're looking at, you know, we're seeing that people can come up here and do their businesses as cheap as they can in the Bay Area. I mean, I went to an open house week before last in the town of Scotia. There's going to be 270 homes sold down there. They've already sold 10, I believe, are in escrow from $165,000 to $210,000, and some of those are three-bedroom, two-bath houses.
Those are all nice starter homes for somebody.
They're beautiful starter homes made out of redwood.
Ooh!
Termites.
That's redwood.
Yeah. Which our county was built on.
Have some fun when you're back there.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Talk to you in a bit. See everybody tomorrow.